034 Dharma, Free Will, 29th of April 2012.
Greeting to all. It has been 3 weeks that I was not able to be here. And my sister just told me whenever I'm not around, she does miss me. I do miss you as well. And I'm so happy to be here today. Praise the Lord. The Lord is full of surprises. I'm always amazed when I'm due to speak and what the Lord has led to my heart. All the songs will go in that same path. And people who are passing at the front to share what the Lord has put in their heart, he just going in the same direction. Amen. And then we do understand that the Lord is here in the house. And this is really a precious time that we have in his presence. Because it's not just a mere coincidence that from north, east to west, the Lord is putting something in each one's heart. Yes. And here we are in his presence. Everything is converging in the same direction. Amen. It's for a purpose. The Lord wants to do something special in my life and in your life. Well, as I was praying and waiting on the Lord, asking him, Father, what shall I bring to your precious people? And this came to me, the battle of free will. The battle that each and every one of us, we have at a daily basis, to exercise the power of the free will that we have. Yeah. Let's read some scriptures. They're really black and white. Deuteronomy chapter 30. From verse 11, the Bible says, for these commandments which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. I repeat verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandment, his statutes, and his judgment, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. We can stop there. As I said, the word is clear, black on white. Well, I was so fascinated on verse 14, where it says that the word is very near you and in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Sometimes when I look at my walk with the Lord, all the revelations that He has given me, everything that He spoke to me, and to be honest with myself, I can remember those moments when a particular word went from a logos to a rhema, a personal word for me. How excited I was. And as we sang that we will trust on Him, only Him. How at that particular moment I received the word from the Lord, I prayed and I said, Lord, I put my trust in You for this particular thing. I felt something special. My spirit connected with the Lord. And that particular word still there somewhere in my heart. But do I continue to be enthusiastic as days passing by? Or I just put it in the past? And it becomes like I had an experience, a feel-good factor. It's gone. I have to look for another experience that will give me that feel-good factor. If that is the case, I'm wasting my time. I don't know what I'm doing and what I'm looking for. My relationship with the Lord have to cause me to grow. Whenever I go into a particular experience, that experience has to take me to the next level. And when the time is there, the Lord can cause our spirit to dig down ourselves and bring up to the surface what He has already sown in us. But going down as we read, we see a commandment here. The Lord saying that He has put in front of His people, putting ourselves in the context, He has put before me and you life and good. Amen. What do we do with life that the Lord has put before us? What do we do with good that He has put before us? Not only that, there is death and evil as well before us. But He's counseling us, He's advising us to choose life, to choose good. And when we do so, our relationship with the Lord will continue to be harmonized and to grow. But the human race, do we always choose good? Do we always choose life? Or our hearts are craving to choose death, to choose evil, to take pleasure in things that are destroying us, things that are taking life, stealing life from us? In Jesus Christ, we should make a difference. though we're still in this mortal body, but the Spirit of the Most High lives in us and is able to enable us to do things that are even supernatural. We can go extra mile if only we allow the Spirit of God to move freely in us. But now, the problem that we have is that we've been, as Genesis chapter 1 says, verse 26 to 27, we've been created in God's own image. That God's image in us can be seen in the free will that He has invested in us. Though He can do with our lives whatsoever He wants, but He chose not to be a dictator. He gave us a free will, the power of free will. Now, it's up to us to use that free will power, whether to alleviate suffering, evil, or to create evil, to create suffering. Unfortunately, the human race, the way we are evolving, if I can use that term, we're going toward what is evil. We are using our free will to create death, to create evil. And God is there, just watching. If I choose to kill you, He will not come to stop me, because that is the power of my free will that I am exercising. And if I have to love you, He will not interfere whatsoever in the free will that I'm using. But as a child of God, I have the Spirit of God in me that is bringing to life the Word of God that I have heard, that I have received, the Word of God that is stored into my soul, into my spirit. God's Spirit, time to time, negotiates with my spirit, pointing me to what can create life, what can create good. But it's up to me whether I want to abide to what the Spirit is leading me to do, or if I don't want to do it. It's really completely up to me. And that's where you can stand and say, Lord, I love you. When you say you love Him, check yourself. What you have already received from Him, are you using the power of your free will to obey the Lord, to put it in practice? Because He's the one who told you that. He's the one who has put it in your spirit to love your neighbor. You know that it's God's will, and nobody can tell you otherwise. You know for sure in your spirit that loving your neighbor is a command that the Lord has given you. But He will not force you to love your neighbor. He won't. Now, if you really, really love the Lord, then in your spirit you'll feel that joy to do what is God's will. And the way to do it, you have to use your free will power to love your neighbor. And the Lord, when he sees that you are available, you are willing to love your neighbor, then God's Spirit will grant you the strength, the capacity beyond even your natural strength and capacity. You'll be able even to love your worstest neighbor ever existed. And when people will look at you, they will say, can you really, really love this person? Can you really, really forgive this person? Yes, of course. It's not by might, but by his Spirit. Why? Because you have used your free will power to obey the Lord, to do what is pleasing to the Lord. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. What we see today happening in the world, I'll give you the example of my country, Congo. Women are victims. In our relationship with our women, we are behaving in a manner that we don't really value them as our equals. We are men. We have power. They have nothing to tell us. And we went even beyond that. A simple manipulation from our politicians have caused us to bring our women to a place where they shouldn't really be. If we are human beings, we shouldn't take them there. Raping them. And going even beyond the rape that you know. After raping them, we abuse them and we destroy their fistulas. At the point that some of them are undergoing so many operations for the fistulas to be fixed, and those operations are useless. Well, we can say it's the devil. Let's leave the devil where he is in peace. Why should we put every single thing on the head of the devil when we are really responsible? Of course, it's devilish what is happening, but we have to take the responsibility in our own hand in what we are doing wrong, how we are using our free will. Because a politician can say something, but we have to choose whether to do what the politician is asking us to do or not. I won't read the whole Bible to you. You know Daniel and his friend. When they go to that point of making a choice to worship idols or to face death, they made a choice. They use the free will power they had in them to do what is pleasing to the Lord. The end of the story is that they came out victorious. But logically, there was no saving at all. They were dead, logically. But the Lord stepped in the fire and protected them. When I look at what the society today has created as systems, sometimes as a Christian, I find it difficult to see how a Christian can live a peaceful life in all the systems of the world in which we are. The world has put some systems that are determining our joy and happiness. I was shocked when reading what was going on when Barcelona was playing Chelsea. And I realized that it's a kind of Wordsworth thing. People who are on the side of Real Madrid insulting Barcelona's players, and those who are on the side of Barcelona insulting Real Madrid's players and coach and staff. And it went even beyond. One of my sons in the Lord is in South Africa. I saw he put a post on Facebook. He said, when Messi didn't manage to mark the penalty, and say, Ronaldo has just shown him how to do it. Immediately I wrote to him. I said, man of God, remember who you are. Don't get caught into this world system of people from nothing are insulting each other, engaging themselves into a meaningless battle. Say, remember who you are. Even if you were Barcelona's Real Madrid fan, you don't have to insult. You don't have to insult. But to the eyes of the world, it's normal. Those who are for Barcelona have to insult Real Madrid, and they will not accept anything at all that Real Madrid players or coach are doing. Vice versa. We know who we are in the Lord, and we have to make choices. Those choices will condition how we're living our Christian life and how we'll finish the race in which we are. The free will that we have, sometimes we forget to use it. We sung, and I repeat again, that we have to put our trust in the Lord. And Grace read something, and she mentioned complete dependence in the Lord. We know that that's the will of God. As His children, we have to trust Him in everything. For our health, we have to trust Him. For our social security, we have to trust Him. If He's feeding birds, if He's clothing plants, in Matthew, the Bible is saying, how much more will He do for me and you? We are precious to Him than birds. So precious to Him than plants. He can do more. But here we are, Christians, shaken by circumstances. Though we know that it's the will of God to trust in the Lord. Instead of trusting in Him as Grace read here, we are looking for shortcuts, our own solutions. We're choosing with our free will what we have to do to overcome the challenges that are in front of us. The will of God will come later, but let's do it my way first. And by doing so, we put ourselves into trouble. We create death. Though things are not that complicated, of course, there is suffering in the world. Of course, the finances can be really tightened at the point that you just go for the solution that the world is proposing. Credit cards. Debt. To solve the solution, to solve the problem. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And when I look back to my personal experience, I said, there is nobody I can blame here but myself. Before taking that credit card, before taking that contract, that debt, I should trust in the Lord. Be content. Isn't it somewhere the Bible says that we should look as subjects of joy in our suffering, something like that. When we choose not to abide to what the Lord has said, we'll go straight into trouble by choosing to do things the way the world is doing them. Let's read the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Can you read for us, please?
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen. And again here, we have to make a choice. Whether we conform ourselves to the ways of this world, or we continue to trust in the Lord. It might be difficult when we are trusting in the Lord, waiting patiently on the Lord to bring about the solution to our problem. I'm not saying or pretending to say that it's easy. No. It's a challenge. But that challenge has a purpose. We had the reading that our sister did. Sometimes suffering prepares us for greatness. But we refuse to go through that suffering. Though we know the Lord, He's still in control. He knows. But we choose to conform ourselves to the society we're living in. And we create death through the credit card. We create death through wrong relationships. We create death through bad choices that we are making. The way we are, we have a soul. And we have this body. Unfortunately, the desires of our body and the desires of our soul are not matching. Our soul is connected to our Creator and is ready to make God's will to become our will. But our body is always craving to create death. For instance, when I choose to discipline myself to pray, for instance, at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m., to take enough time with the Lord so that when I go to bed, I know that I've been in God's presence. But my body will tell me, you know, there is Eastern at 9 o'clock. I don't know. It's just an example. Or there is X Factor at 9 o'clock. Or there is Match of the Day at 9 o'clock. Just chill out and postpone it to 10 o'clock. But your soul will tell you, no, just do it. That's why here, verse 14 that we read, say that the word is there in your heart. It's very near you, in your heart. Just do it. So your soul will tell you, just pray. Forget about EastEnders. Forget about X Factor, Britain Got Talent. Forget about Match of the Day. Just do it. Go in that presence and pour your heart like water before the Lord. But your free will tell you to do something. Whether what your body is commanding you to do, or what your soul is commanding you or advising you to do. If you obey to what your soul is telling you, you will be in that relationship of oneness with the Lord. And before you know it, you'll be out of trouble. But whenever we do what our body is commanding us to do, our body is in charge. Our body is the boss. And our body will lead us into trouble. When he says, take that chocolate, eat it, tomorrow you can do some gym and burn the calories. That tomorrow will not happen. When the body said, take just that, this is the piece of cigarette, the last one, the last stick. Just smoke it and tomorrow you'll be free of smoke. That tomorrow will never happen. But somewhere you're going to hear the spirit in you telling you, no, don't take that cigarette. Don't take that chocolate. Don't accept this man who's coming to you. His intentions are not right. Avoid him. But your body will tell, no, if I let him go, when? Is the real man going to come? When is the real woman going to come? Let me try. And when you try, before you know it, you are in trouble. Have you ever, for those like me who ever experienced financial challenges, just when you are in need, and that's when the postman brings you the letter with that credit card proposal. Okay. This sounds good. Let me try it. You try it, and you're in trouble. I want us to take a moment of prayer together. We all have different experiences, but we all face similar challenges when it comes to this battle of free will. And today the Lord is asking us to trust in Him, to put complete dependency in Him. He's more than able to bring about solution to our problems. to give us peace, good health, marriage, employment, or new business, whatever is our need, He's more than able to create it for us. In your heart, start raising your voice to the Lord and tell Him to help you. Because alone, you won't be able to make it. But remember, everything that we heard here today, all the words that we sang today, came to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring transformation. And the Lord is ready to act upon all those words, to empower our lives with the strength that was lacking in us. Hallelujah. 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 Kusama. You have to choose. Don't go out of this place the way you came. You know where you need to make an important decision that will change your life completely. And that's what the Lord is asking you to do. Make that decision today. He's not forcing you because you have the free will. But choose life. Choose good. And the Lord will give you the strength you need. Hallelujah. 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 One or two voices, if they can address a prayer to the Lord for all of us and ask the Lord to help us from now on to make good decisions that aligning with the will of God. Hallelujah.
Kia ora tātou. I think, you know, I was reading, was it in Deuteronomy where he says that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to mercy, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and steadfast love. God, thank you, God. His steadfast love is always there.